Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Friday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Glad you're with us. Got a full show for you today. Jack Duggan about to report from out in Georgia as the Golden Eagles get ready to play Georgia Southern. Some breaking news there. Jody Lott, Mayor of the Roost, is actually in the studio sitting by his idol, Kelly Center. And Patrick McGee from NOLA.com will join us later. They're both coughing over there. I think they started laughing so much about that. We're glad you're with us. Opening segment sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit, of course. And we're broadcasting, of course, from the Southern Bank Corps Studios in Laurel and Hattiesburg. All right, Jack Duggan is in Georgia, the old left-hander. And, Jack, we appreciate you being on the Eagle Hour, and you've got some breaking news.
Yeah, we just found out we are canceled or postponed tonight. We'll play a doubleheader tomorrow starting at 1 o'clock here in Statesboro. It's 12 o'clock Hattiesburg time, so we'll play two tomorrow and then one on Sunday. So the one bad day was supposed to be today. That it's going to rain tomorrow, but I think it's all going to be early in the morning. I think I'll get out of here by about lunchtime and before lunchtime. We should be good tomorrow. So I think we'll get two in with no problem tomorrow. Could be wrong. I'm no weatherman, but I think that's kind of what's going to be the case here. In fact, you know, we went to lunch, got on the bus about an hour ago or 2 hours ago, and to be honest with you, it hadn't rained yet. I mean, it's the clouds here are overcast, but they still think we're going to get weather tonight. And, of course, here they have a natural surface, playing surface, grass outfield, dirt and grass infield. The foul area is all turf, but that sort of necessitated the change.
All right. Now, will that be 2 9-inning games tomorrow?
Yeah, it should be 2 9s tomorrow.
That's a lot of baseball in one day, Jack.
Yeah. Hey, look. what did Ernie Banks used to say? Good day to play too.
Yeah. Now I got a question. This is really important. Kelly refers to you as Hacksaw. Where did the name Hacksaw come from?
Well, I got that nickname back in the 80s. Coach Palmer takes credit for it, but also players gave it to me. There was a wrestler, not that fake AAU stuff, but professional wrestling. And there was a wrestler, his name was Jim Hacksaw Duggan. And he was from New York, played for the Jets and always went around with a 2x4. In fact, I think he played collegiately football at SMU, but you see him every now and then still. I think he's still working the circuit somewhere, but I got that nickname Hacksaw. So you can imagine the looks I would get when I was introduced to young women in college at Hacksaw.
Well, that explains you carrying the 2x4 up in the press box. Is that correct?
Or
is that when people decide to barbecue up in the press box?
Well, there's all kinds of reasons.
And the old left-hander comes from your esteemed college pitching career. Is that correct?
Yes. John Cox was nice enough to dub me with that nickname. So that's the one that I get bandied about the most these days.
Was that before or after the famous night when you caught the foul ball while eating a hamburger?
That had been after. In fact, I didn't get the old left-hander till I didn't get the old left-hander moniker. It was probably 5 or 6 years ago when John came back from break, and he just called me the old left-hander, and it sort of stuck. So
there we go. And Kelly, you see, Kelly, you still call him Hacksaw.
That's all. I mean, when Jack was working at Southern Miss, and I was, and I actually, a lot of people may have forgotten this, I actually replaced Bob Getty at WDAM-TV 100 years ago.
Well, and the coach that replaced Bear Bryant knew, you know, you guys had a lot in common.
replacing a giant in his own mind, anyway.
Hacksaw, don't let them talk to me like this. Come on, Jack.
Let me tell you a story, Bob. I remember one night, my first full-time job, I'm working, I was the assistant SID at Southeastern Louisiana. And we had come over here to play men's basketball. And one of my duties, I had to do radio. And I had never done basketball radio before, but I did it. And so we're playing. And the Eagle at the time kept coming and bothering me. And I was about to throw hands against the Seymour the Eagle until Regal came up. And he wrote down the words Kelly Santer. So Kelly Santer was the Eagle that night.
He was trying to
mess with me all night. So that's my fondest memory of Kelly Santer.
He wasn't very happy with me.
Now,
Bob,
where did they find an Eagle uniform that big, Jack?
Well, he was in the
back then,
maybe he just put a beak on, and that was it.
No, back then, I was more svelte. You know, back
you were husky when you were a kid.
That's true. But at Channel 7 back then, they had a series called On the Job, where I would go and replace a person, whatever it was, whether it was a mechanic at a garage or.
So that night it was a Noy Jack Duggan job.
No, it was being a mascot. So I dressed up in full, and I cannot tell you, words cannot describe how hot it is inside those. And I'm guessing, Jack, that's why there are two or three different people that kind of rotate out at Seymour. Is that kind of how it goes?
I believe so.
Yeah. Because it is so hot in that.
It really is.
Yeah, in that uniform.
Well, Jack, since it's just the four of us here talking and no one will hear this, how many times since then has Santa irritated you?
He can't count that high.
No, hold on, I'm going to call my lawyer.
Yeah, he's educated, but he can't count that high.
Luke, you want to get in here with Hacksaw? Luke Johnson's back.
I actually wanted to ask about Southern Miss athletics. That was a couple of my questions. So, Jack, Eagle's never been over to J.I. Clements before, but I mean, this is a place that hosted a regional a few years ago, and they're 9-11, but you can't underestimate them at home.
No, you can't. I mean, they went on the road. They took 1-3 in Mississippi State. Their schedule has been pretty difficult. I can't read it off to you off the top of my head, but I did look at it earlier in the week, and I said, wow, they played some really good people. It's not. We're going to have to play well to win this weekend. We've had success as we've started our Sun Belt lives. We've won nine of our first 11 conference series, over the last year plus, and certainly that's a good start for us. We'd like to continue that trend. And it doesn't matter. You got to go on the road and you got to play hard. You're going to hit first. You got to try to jump out early, and. It's just kind of the way it is. I mean, they're probably a lot like us. They I think offensively they sort of mirror us some. I think we probably pitch a little bit better than they do. Like defensively, we might be just a tad bit better, but that's on grass. I mean, we're normally a turf team, so you got to factor that in too. So. It's just a lot of factors. You just got to come out. You got to play. You got to play. As Oz likes to say, you got to play with a sense of urgency. And we're going to have to do that this weekend. Us and Georgia State, we're at the top, and we'd like to stay at the top of the standings and continue to get better. You know, but, you know, as I put together the notes this weekend, you know, Luke, I the one thing you notice is, like, I went back and I put together, you know, what we've done as a career against these guys. And, you know, we've only got three players offensively who have played against them. Mm-hmm. We played them 2018 in Hattiesburg. It was a non-conference series we swept. We played them last year, won 2 out of 3. Of course, remember, we had the big fight with them, I think, in the last game of that series. But if you look offensively, we've had three guys that have had career statistics against them. One is Slade Wilkes. He played in all three games. One is Brady Faust. He only had 2 at-bats in 2 games. And then Carson Pato only played in 1 game in the series last year. So yeah, there's not a lot of, you know, not a lot of history. You know, we've had 4 or 5 guys that have pitched against him, but, you know, it's a different club. It's a different club than we had a year ago, and we just have to get after it and play the best that we can.
Hey, Jack, can you clarify real quick? It's our understanding now in Sunbelt play that the 10-run rule is in effect in any game, not game 3. Is that right?
That is correct.
Is that this year, or was that in play last year as well?
I can't answer that. I honestly don't think it was. I think it was the last game. I think it changed to all games this year. In fact, I realized or found out last Friday when we opened up play against Marshall.
I got you.
Hi, Jack. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it.
Bye, and, guys.
Listen to you on the radio tomorrow, my friend.
All right. Well, y'all be good. Y'all hope you guys have a great weekend.
All right. Jack Duggan, everybody, out in Georgia waiting for the Eagles. Jody Lotz in the studio waiting to jump Kelly. That'll be next.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right. Welcome back. In case you didn't hear that first segment, the baseball canceled tonight. Doubleheader tomorrow against Georgia Southern starting at 12 o'clock our time. That's fresh off the press from Jack Duggan out in the state. Is it Statesboro, Kelly?
It is.
Yes. Statesboro, Georgia. All right, Campus Bookmark sponsors this segment of the show. Miss Kathleen's looking for part-time help. I can't think of a better person to work for and a better environment to be in. If you're looking for good part-time work, Campus Bookmark has a spot for you potentially. And whether you're looking for work or not, it is the place to go for all of your Southern Miss apparel. We're in the Southern Bank Corps Studios, Hattiesburg and Laurel. Bob Kelly, Luke back with us today, and the mayor of the Roost, a dear friend of ours, in the studio with us, him and Kelly. You guys can separate a little bit. You don't have to sit that close together.
Well, actually, we do because the studio is only so big. So we're trying to separate.
Was he insulted you with the minute you walk in the building?
Well, I'm used to it, but I had to move over here. He puts off so dang much heat.
It's already warm enough in here, isn't it?
Yeah. Jody, how are you, brother?
Been hanging in there, doing well.
Well, good. We're glad to have you out here, and I know things are cooking on the Roost. Although I got to tell you, I was a little shocked. I forget which series it was. They all kind of run together. But I went out there one Friday night to visit you, and all your compadres are just standing there looking like lost little puppies, and they said you weren't coming.
Well, that was the night when it had been bad weather, and I don't work well in the cool weather anymore, and they're going to have to learn to grow up and fend for themselves.
Jody, you've been around a long time. How long has it been since you've seen a team with this many new faces at one time?
Honestly, I don't remember one. We've got so many new faces, and that's part of the deal going along is Oz had so many new faces, but not only that, he had to figure out who went where,
right,
and in the lineup to get the most out of the lineup.
Right.
So certainly you've seen several new faces. People don't understand a lot of times midweek games why we pitch so many pitchers. We got to get those guys experience.
We got to.
And at some point, we're going to need them at the end of the year. We have got to get them reps, and that's the only way to do it.
Well, other people are aware of that. I was on the phone today with my boss, the owner of this company, and he's an Ole Miss guy, but a big supporter of Southern Miss. And you know, he made that comment. He said, "You guys really, really got it going in baseball." And I said, "Well, you know, we're very young." He said, "Yeah, but real talented, real talented." And here's a guy looking from the outside in, and and seems to believe that we're just right on stride, despite what some of our fan base seems to think.
Oh, I think so, considering the youth of the team and even the pitching staff's young.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Luke, you weren't here after the game Tuesday in Jackson, but my goodness, we pitched seven kids, six of the seven have pitched very, very little, if any at all.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a game that you just flush. I mean, it happens, it's baseball, but Jody, y'all can correct me on this. I think Oz said after the game, you know, it was probably the worst game we'd played all year.
Very true.
The good thing is you get another shot at those guys. The loss doesn't hurt you in RPI, and people will say, well, our RPI fit. Well, Marshall was a worse RPI team than Marist was. So our RPI fell by sweeping a team, but it's not going to drop because Ole Miss is going to stay up there, and we'll get another shot at them. It's just some of the things, you know, that was disappointed. Of course, they have good arms. But back to y'all's point, you have to give people experience because at the end of the year, you don't want to be so predictable that everybody knows who you're bringing in at a specific situation. You want to have multiple options.
Yeah, that's where the depth comes in, and which, as we have seen in the regionals and super regionals in the past, we will need it.
Yeah, Oz has told us earlier, I think it was maybe even Monday that he told us, he told us he was going to pitch a lot of people in Jackson, and he said, you can't ride the same four or five relief pitchers all year or they'll be burned down by the end of the season.
Arms be gone.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to need them. But here's what else is going on here. All right, when Coach Ostrander makes these changes and these guys get to come in, all right, obviously they're on the roster. So if say you got 12 pitchers, well, you're going to have to number them essentially, 1 through 12, right? So these opportunities that they get, They're gonna based on their performance, that's where they'll be slotted in the pecking order. So you will need a great majority of them, but based on that pecking order, that's gonna determine who gets more innings than not. And it's all based on, are you ready, new age parents? It's based on performance, right? Nothing, these kids are not entitled. They have to earn what they get on the field.
Well, I mean, this is D1 baseball. And as Oz has said many times, this is big boy baseball. You either perform or you get to sit over there by Oz.
But it's not fair.
But and see, the players understand that. The players get it.
Oh, yeah.
It's the people around them sometimes that don't understand it.
Yeah, no question. That's never going to change. That's only going to get worse.
I hope you're wrong, but I suspect you're right.
No, that's only going to get worse. Baseball stadium, I'm curious to get your thought about this, Jody. I hear guys talking all the time about we need to expand the peat. I don't think we need to expand the peat. I think Scott Berry summed that up to me last year when he said, I would rather play in P. Taylor Park the way it is now and people scrambling for tickets than I would to expand this thing by another third and play in a three-quarter empty stadium on a Tuesday night.
And I totally agree. Now, yes, there's some things on the drawing board for the – you know, reworking the stadium. That doesn't necessarily mean reworking it, rebuilding it. They're going to add 10,000 seats, which they're not. But I agree with Scott because it's supply and demand. I would rather be packed than be half empty.
Right. Right.
Every game.
Right. I tell you what, I think you could sell her more suites. I understand there's a waiting list for the suites. And if there was be a way to do that, I could see that.
Just keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah,
I think.
Jody, here's my question, because you and I have had this discussion before, and I think our listeners would find this interesting. The placement of home plate at Pete Taylor Park is, many many years ago before the development in the neighborhood is really one of the issues for one of the stickler blocks for why the stadium can't be expanded in some ways. You remember that conversation we had?
Oh, yes, yes.
Tell our listeners about that.
Well, when the stadium was built, of course, there were no apartments to one side. St. Thomas Catholic Church was just getting started, very small church. National Guard built that field. at the time, they were just happy to get a new field, and I don't think the future 20, 30 years down the road figured into it. But what wound up happening is we grew, and attendance went up. We put the suites in, and lo and behold, on the third base side, we would be hanging over the property line, which the people that owns the apartment complex did not like. And Bill McClelland even tried to buy the airspace, and they wouldn't sell it.
Hmm. But if home plate was what? It was a little forward, you wouldn't have that issue on the third base side.
Yeah, about 8 to 10 feet.
Yeah.
I mean,
and in regards to the roost, because I think people forget this, it's hard to expand down the first baseline, so you start eating into the roost. And the SRO area on, you know, the patio down there has become a staple the last several years.
Well, it's become a place to be, especially for parents with kids and students. They can bring their own chairs, bring their own ice chest, and it's a nice place to watch a game.
Yeah, would you like to comment on kids in the roost?
Yeah, parents, make them behave.
I remember when Hill Denson was really just getting the field started there, and I remember distinctly he was on a gator or something. He turned off the engine, and he said, "We're getting ready to do something radical." I said, "What's that?" He said, "We're going to change ticket prices from $3 a head to $5. Now, this was back in the day. I said, "Hill, your crowds aren't that big now." He said, "You want to bet they're going to get bigger even with..." I said, "So you guys are that good?" He said, "No, it's a strange phenomenon about the human psyche. If you charge more, there is a subliminal thought that you're getting more." Mm-hmm. And he said, "They might not be getting more, but if they're paying more, they think they're getting more." And he was, as it turns out,
right.
He was absolutely right.
Well, Hill always understood promotion.
That, you know.
Well, that was what he did.
Right.
And when it comes to that ballpark, his dream turned out just like he wanted it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
And yeah. I think if Southern Miss ever, you know, obviously hindsight's always 20/20, but I would have liked to have seen the university with Hill Denson as the athletic director for foot, just because he understood marketing and sales and money. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
He's one of a kind. No question.
There's only one.
You want to stick around?
Sure.
We're going to talk a little Saints football coming up, and then we're going to do some conference picks, and we'll use your expertise.
All right.
Separate, guys. Quit.
We're trying, Bob.
Quit getting so close to one another.
We're trying.
I'm getting a little uncomfortable in here.
It's the after effect of those beignets.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour. This segment sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill right there in the shadow of the rock. No baseball tonight, so go down there tonight, get a shrimp poor boy and a couple cold Pabst Blue Ribbons and watch the basketball games. They'll be on TV. And guarantee you starting at noon tomorrow, you'll find Southern Miss baseball right there at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Also want to thank Mobay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street, for their sponsorship of our program, the official beignet store of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. You were there the day, well, we should point out that that's your daughter's business.
And, yes.
You were there the day that Luke curb stomped Santa here in the beignet eating contest, weren't you?
Oh, that was worse than a curb stomp.
It was embarrassing.
That was embarrassing.
It was such a disappointing performance. God.
Yeah, just... Santa...
A lot of talk, but you
all that—all that powdered sugar. Yeah. Santa looked like a silverback sitting over there.
Hell,
address those letters, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh man! Hey, the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast is always available on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Patrick McGee, Dola.com on the show now, and Patrick. The former number one draft choice of the then Washington Redskins is now a New Orleans Saint.
Yeah, I think it was the number two overall. I guess it was 2020.
Right, number two draft choice. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, and he's just you know, he's had a hard time that first year. He got NFL Rookie of the Year. Then injuries have kind of piled up for him the last few years. He's including a surgery that he's got to have on his neck. So he's going to be missing a fair amount of camp and stuff like that. But the hope is that he'll be ready to go week one, and that they could kind of get him in as a pass rusher, somebody that could be an important role player for this defense. I think it makes sense for what he provides, but he's just going to be a big old question mark in that contract that the Saints have with him. Is, you know, it was reported at $13 million, but much of it is made up with performance bonuses and stuff like that. So. Yeah, we'll see. But, you know, he certainly looks the part. You know, whether or not he's the real deal, it remains to be seen.
He looked the part for two or three years when I was following the Redskins on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. He was always on the sidelines looking the part. But, Luke, there's one thing about it. He brings that winning Washington Redskin bloodline to the Saints.
Hello? This is where I pause and have an awkward silence. But, I mean, Patrick, if you're going to be paying guys money who mm-hmm. aren't injured, who remain injured, I mean, Chase Young's a guy that, you know, we've seen this happen before. Guy appears to be a bust, but once he gets his health under control, I mean, there's a reason why he was drafted second overall.
Yeah, no, he's still got that potential, and he played well, you know, for the most part, whenever he was on the field this season, had a sack in the Super Bowl. And it's obvious. I think they said the neck injury or the stinger is what they called it happened in the preseason. So he was never quite 100% this past season. So yeah, if this surgery goes well, you know, it doesn't sound like it's any big deal. He's able to get ready in time for week one. I mean, he could really be a big deal. I mean, the Saints are already have two established defensive ends in Gray Anderson and Cam Jordan. If they can find a young, talented guy to work in with those guys that can really make an impact, maybe, say, get him 8 or 9 sacks this season, it's worth the investment.
And you mentioned the fact of his last name's Young. He is young. I mean, he turns 25 mm-hmm. in April, so he'll be 25 at the time of the draft. Talk draft real quick. Still looking Saints, you know, at 14, still probably trying to recover from the pinning. Draft pick that hadn't worked out. Are they going to move him inside and then draft a tackle? Is that what they'll do?
Yeah, I don't think they've explicitly said that they're going to make him a guard, but I think that's what the expectation is. I mean, he's always looked like a guard to me. I mean, I know he's tall, 6'6", 6'7", but just the attributes that he brings as offensive lineman, he's always kind of been a guard. And they were just hoping they could really make him work on the outside, and it just didn't work at all. But, yeah, that's kind of the anticipation is that the Saints are going to draft a tackle. And at this point, it makes perfect sense. I mean, they've got to have more. Andrews Pete is testing the free agency market. I guess there's still a chance he ends back with the Saints, but it's very much up in the air. So if they don't have Pete back on board, the Saints are going to be in a tight spot at left tackle, and they need to address that at least in the draft.
So with the first wave of free agency now, Patrick, what grade would you give the Saints in what they have done or have not done in the first wave of free agency?
Well, it was a whole lot of doing nothing. You know, I think Cedric Wilson, the receiver they got from the Dolphins, is somebody I think they can be an important piece of the offense and play well and maybe kind of see him kind of take his game to another level. But all the other pickups aside from Chase Young have been pretty cheap. Nathan Peterman, the Bears, they signed him to compete for the backup job, and that tells me that it's really Jay Kaner's job to lose at backup. They just brought in another veteran just in case something goes haywire. But, yeah, the Saints haven't done a whole lot until they got Young on board, and he's a big old question mark. So you're not sitting – you know, you're sitting here thinking, okay, who of all the guys they brought in, who's going to be impact guys going in? And they still have time to sign more. But the Saints have just been one of the teams that really – hasn't been all that active.
Well, meanwhile, when you look at the other teams in the division, the Falcons will have a new quarterback via Minnesota. Right. Tampa Bay has re-signed its quarterback. So other teams in the division appear to certainly have been more active than New Orleans.
Yeah, it feels like the other teams are kind of, you know, solidifying certain spots where they're weak at. And I think, you know, I like Kirk Cousins as a quarterback. He's not perfect. But, I, you know, I can see him playing pretty well there for Atlanta. He had a good season with the Vikings this season before he got hurt. And we'll see. I mean, I'm not completely sold on the Falcons just yet in that receiving core. There's more to it than just adding a quarterback. But certainly the Falcons did make a big upgrade there.
And the Baker Mayfield, what, $115 million for Baker Mayfield?
Geez, that's actually I hadn't seen that number. That's big. He earned it though. He played really well.
He played real well.
You know? Yeah. He was a Pro Bowl you know type quarterback. He's always been a fighter, and I think maybe Tampa is a place where you could see him there for the long run.
I've always liked Baker Mayfield. I don't know why people tend not to like him, Patrick. He's a competitor. He's talented, and he's won his share of ball games.
But he plays for the Bucs, so we can't like him.
I think Cleveland's a tough place to play quarterback for a whole host of reasons. So you know, the inconsistency there probably played in part just being a quarterback in Cleveland.
And Bob, he had a lot of off-field problems that people kind of turned on him also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he was really good at Tampa, I thought.
He appears to have grown up some. Patrick, I have a question for you. Going into the draft, is there any way we can draft another coach?
No, I don't think that's on, unless they're trading people around. I don't think that's an option. Allen neck is on the line, and it comes down to how well Clint Kubiak does it, offensive coordinator. I think it was a pretty good hire. If you can balance out, you know, Dennis Allen's solid defense with somebody that's really competent on offense and take charge and implement what he wants to do, I think the Saints can be an improved team this season.
Hey, Patrick.
A whole lot of TBD.
I'm sorry.
You're good.
Cook, 2 minutes left. I want to change subject real quick. I want to ask you about something I read last night. I read that tickets for the Final Four women's tournament are selling for higher prices than the men's. Is that because of the young girl in Iowa, Caitlin Clark?
No, I mean, I think that's a small part of it. LSU just dominates everything right now with Angel Reese and the team just loaded with stars. South Carolina is the best team out there. There's just more household names in the women's game right now than there are on the men's side. Aside from the Edie, the center for Purdue, there just aren't that many guys out there people know. But LSU, Iowa, South Carolina, these are all teams that are just loaded with stars in women's basketball, and they are not just stars on the court; they're pop stars away from the court. So there's just much more interest right now in terms of, you know, women's basketball whenever it's at its, you know,
at
its peak.
Did you ever think you'd see that?
No, I mean, it's unusual. It's, to me, they're two different games, the women's game and the men's game, you know, how they're played and everything, but they're both unique and they're both can be compelling. But right now, women's basketball is the more compelling product.
Patrick, about a minute left. Greg Sankey eating his words today. The quote last week, we are giving away, and this is regards to the NCAA tournament, we're giving away highly competitive opportunities for automatic qualifiers, and I think pressure is going to rise as we have more competitive basketball leagues at the top end because of expansion. SEC goes 0-3 yesterday. Oakland, the Cinderella of the country right now, knocking off Kentucky. I mean, it is... If it weren't him saying that, everybody else would say that is a dumb idea, you know. And your thoughts on them thinking that they could take away automatic bids for the NCAA tournament?
Real quick, Patrick.
Well, Tom Izzo basically said the same thing, and it's a bad idea. It's going to ruin the product. It's just, you know, it's going to doom the NCAA tournament if they do something like that. It's just going to make it far less interesting.
Patrick, we always appreciate you, brother. Have a good weekend down there in the Big Easy, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee, everybody, NOLA.com. When we come back, we'll go around the Sun Belt, and since we have the mayor here, we'll do picks. How about that?
By the way, that Oakland team is from Oakland, Michigan, not Oakland, California.
I didn't know that till the end of the game last night. But whoever the guy is that shoots the threes, he's pretty good. He's pretty good. It was so sweet seeing the SEC.
Anybody, right?
It just means more. It just means more, guys.
Yeah, it sure did last night. You could tell by the looks on those Kentucky fans' faces. It meant a lot.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment on a Friday, brought to you by DBAT in Hattiesburg. DBATHattiesburg.com. It's going to get a little stormy. Whenever it's stormy, it's always sunny at DBAT, Batting Cages, Instruction, Pro Shop, all there on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Luke Johnson, Bob Getty, Kelly Sander, Jody Lott, the mayor of the Roost, joining us.
Right here in the studio, brother.
For the third straight segment, the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. A couple news and notes for the weekend. Softball hosting Marshall this coming weekend. Beach volleyball just underway with North Carolina Wilmington. They will take on Charleston also. Track and field up at Mississippi State for the Bulldog Relays. And tomorrow in Reed Green Coliseum, we have round two of postseason play. The Lady Eagles, the Magnificent Seven, taking on Murray State at 5 p.m. So pack the Reed Green Coliseum. Go cheer on Coach McNellis, Dominate Davis, Malia Grayson, all of those ladies as they take on Murray State. All right, cross the Sun Belt, and we do need to remind Bob people of the time change again of tomorrow. No game tonight against Georgia Southern.
12 o'clock tomorrow, the first of 2 9-inning games. Second game will be played 45 minutes after the conclusion of the first.
And before we get into our picks, James Madison playing tonight in the NCAA tournament, their opening round. All right, here we go. Sun Belt baseball. Seven series this weekend. I think there's been a somebody else has been pushed back, maybe ULM and Georgia State. Yeah, they have too. So we'll get to those in just a minute. All right, here we go. Texas State at James Madison. So up in Harrisonburg, Texas State right now 2-1, 12-9. James Madison 1-2, 13-8. Who you got?
Go ahead, Jody. You're our guest.
I will take James Madison 2 out of 3.
Ditto. I'll do the same thing.
Yeah, you would normally take Texas State here, but James Madison should have took 2 or 3 at Coastal.
It's just been a really good year for James Madison all around. You know, when going back to football season, even both men's and women's basketball teams had great years. It just seems one of those magical years, and I don't see it stopping necessarily. This is a team to watch. I think the rest of the way is James Madison, Bob.
Yeah, I'm with James Madison in this one as well, guys.
Coastal in Boone today has been postponed. They will, I guess, either if they don't get it in today, start tomorrow. Coastal 17-4, App State 13-6.
That's pretty good.
Ooh. I'm going to have to go with Coastal in this, 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I was going to say, until somebody, you know, the great Ric Flair once said, in order to be the man, you got to beat the man.
You got to beat the man.
All right, Coastal scores a lot of runs.
So. Coastal wins 2 out of 3 games.
Yeah, I think I'm actually going to say Coastal's going to sweep App. That's the prettiest baseball field in the country. I'm going to say that Coastal – I want Coastal to be sky high when they come in here in early May, so they'll sweep App. All right, Arkansas State at Marshall.
At Marshall. What is Arkansas State's record, Luke?
13-10. Lost 2 of 3, I think, to the Cajuns last weekend.
Much impressed, much improved Marshall last weekend. I'm going to take Marshall in a sweep.
Really? Okay. Now, this is the first one you and I have disagreed on, Jody. I think, that, you know, former Mississippi State player Tommy Raffo is the head coach at Arkansas State. They made a change in pitching coach with Peyton Trawick. Arkansas State. I'm going to take Arkansas State to win the series.
Now, I'm with you, Jody. I think Marshall's much better than people think. I like Marshall 2 out of 3.
I got Marshall at home 2 out of 3. South Alabama at Troy, the battle for the state of Alabama. South Alabama swept last weekend at home, 12-9 overall. Troy 2-1, 15-7 overall.
I'm going with Troy, 2 out of 3.
Yeah, South Al's been really disappointing. I'll take the Trojans, too.
Ditto.
I will.
Ditto, yep.
Same. Old Dominion on the Bayou in Lafayette. Cajuns 2-1, 13-8. Old Dominion 2-1, 13-8.
I'll go with Old Dominion 2 out of 3.
I'm not. I'm going to take the Cajuns in a sweep.
A sweep?
A sweep. It's on the Bayou, yeah.
Yeah, I like them 2 out of 3 on the Bayou.
I'll take Cajuns 2 out of 3. ULM at Georgia State. That game already been pushed back. Game 1-2 tomorrow, just like the Eagles in Georgia Southern. Georgia State 3-0, but 11-10 overall. ULM 1-2 and 12-9 for Fed's troops.
I'll go with Georgia State 2 out of 3.
I'm going to take the Warhawks 2 out of 3.
Fed gets 2 out of 3.
I'll say Fed gets 2 out of 3 as well. All right, Golden Eagles in a doubleheader tomorrow. A perfect 3-0 in the conference, 14-7 overall. Georgia Southern 1-2, 9-11 overall, but they beat Mississippi State, they beat Kennesaw State, and they beat number 21, the Campbell Camels.
This team has played, what'd you say, Sander, the second toughest schedule
in the country, yeah.
It's going to be tough to get a sweep. I'll be very happy with 2 out of 3.
But I'm calling for Southern Miss sweep.
Eagles sweep. I think you're right, Kelly.
Which Eagles?
Our Eagles.
Okay.
Southern Miss never played in Statesboro, has only lost to Georgia Southern one time. I'll go Eagles 2 out of 3. Our Eagles 2 out of 3.
All right, Jody, thanks for coming in, man.
Sure. Enjoyed it.
You can slap him now. We're about
see,
to
see, we behaved.
Up. Yeah, y'all have been pretty good. It's just that closeness got me a little uncomfortable, but I'm glad I got you separated. That wraps up this week. Oz on the show Monday. We hope you'll join us. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.